about the events recorded in Scripture for the period from resurrection to ascension. Luke tells us in Acts 1:3 that it was 40 days from resurrection to departure. Then add 10 more days and the Holy Spirit arrives, launching the church, an event commonly referred to as Pentecost. Generally, it seems to me that once Christ is risen and enabled our trip to glory, believers fast forward to the communion at the commission for evangelism and on to the Pentecost. Perhaps we should pause and see what the 40 days in between had to say. The belief that Jesus Christ was quite dead and then raised bodily as an absolute victory over death is tightly held by all true Christians and the bedrock of our faith. Accordingly, the scripture on the post-resurrection events are important for at least three reasons. First, consider that without evidence of the events, Christ could become a mystical and our belief misled by being based on feelings. Then there's the testimonies that none, perhaps many, have come to faith only after learning and accepting the evidence of the resurrection that a dead man really did get up and walk. Do we know and understand just saying the tomb was empty is not enough? We should know these events well enough to assist someone else in coming to understanding of the resurrection of Jesus. Finally, if, as Paul points out in 1 Corinthians 15, that if Christ is not risen, then we might as well be Buddhist. This resurrection of Jesus is bitterly opposed and under increasing attack in today's culture. Destroy the center support beam and the structure will collapse. For instance, in 1984, the Anglican Bishop David Jenkins described the physical resurrection as merely a conjuring trip with bones. There have been other and more recent statements by Protestant bishops and clergymen that deny the resurrection of the Christ. In addition, it appears that there are many today who wear the label of Christian, but who embrace the resurrection only as a symbol. Please note that in Ephesians 6:13, and I quote, "Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm." Not including Paul's Damascus Road experience in Acts and his writings in 1 Corinthians 15, the scriptures record only 9 appearances of Jesus in the 40 days between resurrection and ascension. These 9 events are reported in 13 passages of scripture. Moreover, only the empty tomb, the presence of an angel or angels, and early morning visit by women is reported by all 4 gospels. In a couple of these events, it is not clear whether they are separate occurrences or the same event reported from an entirely different perspective. However, skeptics will point to any inconsistency between the gospels as a reason to label the resurrection story as a hoax. Mark's record through chapter 8 of post-resurrection events is very much like Matthew's version. From chapter 9 on, there's a strong resemblance to a condensed version of John's narrative. Only Luke, in Luke 24 and Acts 1, takes note of the ascension. Why would John, being physically present and an addressee of the final instructions of Jesus, not include some mention of the ascension in his gospel? Scripture has not specifically told us. However, it is enough to examine what he did accomplish in those 9 appearances, 5 of which occurred on Resurrection Sunday, 1 happened the following Sunday, and another on the 40th day. In between, we know of only 2 other appearances in the 33 days. The answer may be found in John 20, verses 30 and 31, and I quote, "Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in the book, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name," end of quote. The church and individual Christians must defend against the corrosive intent of Satan and the world to undermine the scriptures in the general and the resurrection in particular. 1 Peter 3:15, and I quote, "But sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence," end quote. To make a defense, one must have digested and sorted out the facts for themselves. But first comes the decision that evidences are important. Finally, Philippians 3:10, and I quote, "I might come to know him in an experiential way and come to know experientially the power of his resurrection and a joint participation in his suffering, being brought to a place where my life will radiate a likeness to his death," end quote. May your troubles be small and your blessings more, and may nothing but peace and happiness come through your door.